Thank you.
Hello, my name is Sharon, and I'm an addict. And I'm doing as I was told, so y'all need to bear with me. Okay, we got a paragraph up here we got to read. My name is Sharon, I'm an addict. Y'all need to come up here and read this. Anyway.
Pass it over.
Pass it. No! I want to be sharing here. Okay. The name of this topic is our new playgrounds.
New playgrounds, playmates, and playthings.
Interesting. Okay. Playground. Think about playground. I think about children. That's playground for kids. However, I'm told that we are in here. We are kids as well. 2 weeks from today, it'll be 18 years that I've been playing in Narcotic Anonymous. Now, I just read this paragraph, so I'm going to take my comments and my sharing and my experience and minimize it because that's what this paragraph is asking us to do. When I talk about a playground, I talk about a place where you go and enjoy yourself, you have fun, you do things that you thought you were wanting to do to have fun. Out there in the street, my playground was the clubs, movies, closets, corners, cars, living rooms, and my office. And I say those things because we're talking about a playground. And in my using, those were the places where I got high and I played. Now I'm in Narcotic Anonymous, and my playground is the convention, the dances, anything that's drug-free environment. My playthings were the rolled-up paper, the can, the lighter, my hair moving back, and whatever else I use to get high. My playthings are the literature, my chip, the meetings, my sponsor. Well, no, take my sponsor out because she ain't a plaything. She's a playmate. I'm going to leave it at that. My playmates. Whew, that's a long list in the streets. My playmates in the streets was long. However, my playmates have changed. My playmates now is my network, my sponsees, my sponsor. People that I network with to talk about how to stay clean one day at a time. Now, As we are told that when you come into Narcotic Anonymous, there's something that must take place. And in my life, what took place was my surrendering process. So before I could embrace my new playmates, playground, playthings, I had to first surrender. Once I surrendered, I understood what the first, the second, and the third step meant. It meant that I needed to wake up. I needed to understand that I could not do it by myself. I need to acknowledge the God of my understanding, and then I need to make decisions to turn my will over to the care of God as I understand him. Now, as we progress into recovery, my process started again. Because after you do the third step, you are faced with either going back to play with your old playmates, your old playthings, and going to your old playgrounds, or coming in here and embracing the new playground, the new playmates, and new playthings. I chose to stay in Narcotic Anonymous and change to embrace my new surroundings. And my new surroundings merely meant that I needed to take a look at me in the fourth step. I needed to find out who Sharon was. I need to understand that to embrace new things means that I need to let go of the old. And in letting go of the old, I need to let go of the pain that I'm feeling, of the resentments that I'm feeling, of the lust that I'm feeling, and of the deceit that I felt. When I look at myself in the fourth step, I see that I was a little girl and I didn't want to grow up. So to tell me to move on forward and do a fifth and a sixth step means that I needed to clean up. I couldn't clean up so that I can embrace the new things at first. I thought there was nothing wrong with me. I came in here off the streets. And what I found out was that it wasn't what I did, how I did it, when I did it, where I did it, and why I did it. But what's important is that now that I know all those things about me, what am I going to do? So when we look at the fifth step, we looked at I had to go find the God of my understanding so that I could write. And I'm glad that I took the opportunity to do a fifth step because it has afforded me the opportunity to stand before you with my eyes wide open, not feeling any remorse for everything that I found out about me. Because now I'm learning how to embrace the new playthings that God has bestowed me with. After I've completed my fifth step, there are some defects of characters that kept me in those houses, the office, in the corners because of my defects of character. I thought I was a little girl, I didn't want to grow up, and it was your fault that I was unhappy. And I found out that it was not your fault that I was unhappy. It was my fault because I have to go inside. If you don't go inside, there's no way you can embrace and enjoy new playthings or new playmates, or for that matter, go to a new playground. When you get to the seventh step, it's all about makeup. Because now, Sharon, you don't need to be humiliated over and over again for what somebody said. You don't need to get upset, because out in the street, when you said something wrong to me, my mind was already on some other plane. So when you said something wrong to me, I immediately want to catch an attitude. I immediately want to tell you something that was negative. I immediately want to let you know that you hurt me. Well, when you come into Narcotic Anonymous and you drop the rock and you break real, it's okay for somebody to talk about you. Because the seventh step says that either you humble yourself or you get humiliated. And what I found out was that when I was upset, it was because I could not allow somebody else to feel good in my presence when I was feeling bad. So all my playmates, they would leave. They'd be gone. Here it is, 18 years later almost, and my playmates stay around me. They call me on the phone. They ask me how I'm doing. We hang out. We do different things. There's a difference in being humble and allowing somebody to say whatever they want to say out their mouth to you without you catching an attitude and wanting to react negative. I was told early on that if somebody has the opportunity to say something to you, be grateful that they spoke because they didn't have to say anything. Whether it's negative impact or not, they had something to say. Be grateful that they opened their mouth because they didn't have to. And what I've learned from it is when people say things that are derogatory to me, I just say thank you. You don't have the right not to speak your mind. And I don't have the right to tell you not to speak your mind. And what I've learned is that when I'm hurting, I don't have the right to hurt you. I don't have the right to tell you off because I'm in a space. I've allowed you in that space. So if you're going to be a playmate of mine, you got to accept me as I am because I'm going to accept you as you are. And we might hurt each other with words because words are always piercing the heart. What I found out was that as I went on up the ladder to the eighth step, I found out that the willingness to take my part in what I've done was one of the spiritual experiences that make me exhale. To be able to allow somebody to say what they can say, because there was a whole lot of stuff that I did in my using. There's a whole lot of people that I hurt. So I had a list. I had an eight-step list that I had to make. And in making that eight-step list, I had to take a look at what I did and justify why I thought I should have done that. But if I look back at the playground, the playthings, and the playmates, they didn't deserve what I gave them. But in my mind, I thought it was okay. I justified it. But when we look at the eighth step, it's all about the willingness to write names down so that you don't have to go back to your old playground to play with your playmates, with their playthings. And if we look at the ninth step, we see that now that we've seen all of these things that these people said we did, and some of them, I have to admit, I did do. Probably blacked out, don't remember. But for some odd reason, when you're on the ninth step and you pray for the willingness to be honest, God allows you to have a reprieve. And for some odd reason, your memory comes back. So you can take a look at the ninth step and see that it's okay for you to clean off your side of the street. Because now you want to embrace the new things that God's going to give you. You're moving forward to the 10th, and you're taking a personal inventory, and you're promptly admitting you're wrong, because no longer can you be mad for 2 and 3 weeks. Can't be mad for 2 or 3 weeks. Why? Because you understand that people in your life are human. They're going to make mistakes, Sharon. They're going to piss you off. They're going to say things to hurt your feelings. It's how you perceive and how you interpret what they're saying and internalize it is what make you react. So when you react, if it's positive, you don't have a problem. You can shake it off. But if it's something that pierces the heart, then you got to get on the phone and call a new playmate and let them know that you've been hurting. I choose to call my new playmate my sponsor because that's the person that knows me the most since I've been here almost 18 years. I can call this lady any time of the day and start talking, and she can tell me about my moods. And she can tell me, I want to get on the pity pot. I want to justify. Why I want to do this? Because of the feelings that I'm feeling. But if I just sit still and don't do nothing and let the feelings come, they'll go. And what I found out is that when the feelings come and they go, I exhale. And as I exhale, I don't have to react. And as I don't have to react, it doesn't have to be negative. So the next time I see the person, I don't have to grit on them. I have to curse them out. I have to say anything to them. What I have to do is say, thank you for giving me the opportunity to sit still and feel what I need to feel so that I know it's okay for me to cry. It's okay for me to be human. Because in the 10th step, it's all about building character. You cannot build character if you cannot accept constructive criticism. You cannot build character if you cannot allow someone to be who they are in your life without you wanting to justify how you think they should be. Building character means allowing them to be who they are, how they are, why they are. My sponsor always told me, when something is so uncomfortable for you, and since we're talking about playgrounds, playmates, and playthings, if playground is so uncomfortable, a playmate is too uncomfortable, or plaything is too uncomfortable, you remove you. You can't remove the playmate, you can't remove the playground, and you can't remove the plaything. So what I like about the 10th step is it affords me the opportunity to do spot check in the morning, check my attitude. Because if I'm upset in the morning, then everybody that see me that day is going to get a little bit of my upsetness. And they don't have to do that. Because if I look at the 10th step, I don't have the right to curse somebody out, tell somebody off. Because then I got to go right back and say, I apologize. And my sponsor told me, if you don't practice these types of behaviors, then you won't have to worry about apologizing for them. And what I really understand is that the 11th step is all about sort through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God. Well, how do you improve your conscious contact with God if you're in a new place? See, I was born and raised in Washington, D.C., and I was brought up in the church. The funny thing is, I would go to church and then go get high. So for me to sort through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God, I was like, okay, this is the same God that I used to talk to when I used to get high. But what I like about our liturgy, it says, a God of your understanding. May you find him now. When I talk about the God of my understanding, I talk about a loving, caring God that allows me to be who I am, make the mistakes I need to make to continue to grow. I talk about a God that has allowed me to see a lot of people living and dead, and I just buried my father like 3 weeks ago today. So it's ironic that they want me to lead a workshop. I'm like, But of course, when you check in, it's the right thing to do. So that I can understand that it's okay that he transitioned. I love him. And I know God loved him more, and that's why he took him from me. And the selfishness in me wanted me to keep him here so that I can have an excuse to go up to Atlantic City to play. But he saw fit that it wasn't impossible. That it was time for him to go because he was real, 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 real sick. So when we look at the 11th step, we talk about how we quiet the mind. We're not at the playground. We're not with the playmate. But we do have a plaything. The literature. We're reading the 7th or the 11th or the 3rd step so that we can quiet the mind and allow the mind to feel comfort. When I meditate in the bathtub. And these last 3 weeks, I've had to meditate quite a lot because I find myself crying a lot. So I've had to just ask God to just give me the willingness to to feel what it is that I need to feel, because I've been to a whole lot of funerals. And I've cried for like 5, maybe 30 minutes at top. And the next day, I'm back doing business as usual. But when my father passed, I couldn't shake it. For 2 weeks, I didn't want to do nothing. So I understand that the grieving process takes its toll on you, and it allows you to do things that you might not want to do or want to feel. And a girl like me, I'm thinking I'm going to bounce back, and I'm still not totally there, but I feel better today than I've had last week. So I know that the transition of me accepting him leaving is leaving. When I talk about the 12th step, which is the last step in the program, I talk about a series of things. One is practicing the principles in all my affairs. Well, this topic and personality over principles make you think. Because how can you change your playground, your playmate, and your playthings and stay in recovery so that you can accept what's being done without catching an attitude, without being resentful, without justifying, minimizing? You have to read the 12th step so that you can understand that it's about selfless service. And selfless service is all about you allowing yourself to do something so that you don't have to sit with you. Sponsorship. I've been sponsoring women since my second year. Getting in service. I've been in service at the regional level, the area level, and the group level. Selfless service is the core that help us see that what's going on with you, Sharon, ain't all that bad. Because somebody else is dealing with some other things as well. And if you put you to the side, then you have a new playground, a playmate, and a plaything. I love going up and down the street of the program, the 12 steps with the 12 traditions. I found out as long as I practiced those 24 principles in my life, no matter what I go through, I can get on the other side. I would like to thank the convention committee for asking me to come out and share. And in closing, if I offended you, if I said something to hurt your feelings, I'm just a message. Call your sponsor. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay, at this time I'd like to introduce Joy.
I'm an addict and my name is Joe. And I'm grateful that I'm clean today, you know, and I'm able to read without glasses. How's that? It's a long list here, things to carry out, but I need to say this, that I'm grateful that my friends are here to support me in carrying this message. I look nervous because maybe I'm just going to reveal myself, you know, because that's what it's about, you know. When you're talking about new playmates, you're talking about the people in Narcotics Anonymous, my associates that aren't using today, you know, my spiritual connections and the people that I use through the 11th step, you know. I'm talking about my family because, see, I was alienated from my family for so long. So they were new to me when I got clean. My neighborhood was new to me when I got clean because, like, I hadn't experienced nothing but, like, leaving it all the time to do what I needed to do, you know. I got to thank God for everything I got today because, like, I'm grateful that I'm clean and I'm able to stay clean and that I have the ability to help somebody, you know, because, like, that's the greatest gift God gave me, you know. I came here through a 12-step, you know. Somebody came to me and said, listen, I go to meetings. I was like you. You go away for a week. You withdraw. You come back. You make meetings with me and you stay clean. And that's it. I looked at him, I said, you got to be crazy. And he said to me, he says, no, he says, that's it. I looked at him, I said, no. My sister-in-law was on the methadone program. Me and my brother used successfully, so I thought. You know, we didn't have no relationship, you know. My brother-in-law got clean. My brother got clean. My sister-in-law came off the methadone. And today I'm living proof that Narcotics Anonymous works. It's alive and well, and it's strong. You know, I wanted to talk about, like, you know, I don't express myself, you know. A lot of times I'm subdued, right? And I think everything's okay because I'm just grateful to be alive some days, you know. And I was on a motorcycle ride with 200 other bikes in memory of this kid on Sunday, right? And I get a phone call that they found one of the guys I ride with, in a hotel room in Atlantic City, and he died, you know. And, like, I counted to 10. I blinked my eyes. I got on my bike. I act like I didn't hear it because, see, that's what I think I can do, you know. I think I can change things, you know, but I really can't because, see, I just don't give myself that ability to feel, you know, and that's me. I'm an addict. My name is Joe, and that's what I do, you know what I mean? I know how to make friends. I know how to keep them. But practicing intimacy with myself has been difficult. So this is why I'm here, you know. I'm grateful to be in Ocean City. You know, I came through the rain and the sunshine came out. And it was a beautiful day. And I showed up at downstairs. And all I did was get hugs and welcome and water and coffee. And it's real nice, man. It's real nice to be here, you know. It's definitely a blessing, you know. So, like, to tell you, that's how Sunday started off, right? And we went on this ride and... And as the ride went through the streets, it was real cool, you know, with a police escort, and it was real nice, you know. And when I got, like, I didn't tell anybody about the phone call that I was with because, you know what, like, all my life I kept a secret, you know, and I kept all that stuff, you know. And I'm on my new playthings, like, you know, the motorcycles that are registered, you know what I mean? I'm on my new... playmates, you know, the people who are in recovery, you know, and I'm supporting something I believe in, you know. See, all my life I couldn't do that, you know. I couldn't stand up for myself. I did what the drugs told me to do when they told me to do them, how they told me to do them, you know. I got clean May 16, 1988, and I didn't have to look back. You know what, my brother, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, rest her soul, you know, they relapsed because, you know what, they got too busy, you know. You know what happens in recovery? You go to meetings, you go to the diner, you get 90 days, and then you say, and now what? And now what? Well, you know what? Like, the now what's for me are like, I got this beautiful house in the country in New York State. You know what? Like, I got this gift called Mom and Dad are still alive that I'm able to enjoy, you know, that I used to dread. I'm able to spend holidays in Florida through the winter with my family. I'm able to enjoy the country for what it is. I couldn't get over the bridge, man. I live in Staten Island. Things were tough. You know what? It was always about conning, manipulating, getting on the ferry boat, getting to the other side. Then I'll figure out. And then what? So when I was using, I had all them then what's too. I just didn't realize it because I didn't allow myself to feel. You know, I need to share this today. Like, my playgrounds are some awesome stuff. Some awesome stuff. You know what I do? I learn how to snowboard. I learn how to live life like I never thought imaginable. You know what? I wrote a list down. They said, when you get clean, write down a list of the things you want. I wanted the police to stop harassing me. I wanted a car that was legal. And I wanted, like, a license and, like, all the paperwork for when they pull you over. You know what I mean? I was just so sick and tired of being incorrect. I said, man, if the police stop harassing me, I'll be okay. And check it out, man. I think I got a lot more than that today. You know? You know what? When on my free time, I don't know what to do. Should I ride my motorcycle? Should I go up into the country with the quads? Should I go down to the beach with the jet ski? What should I do? You know what I mean? My life is full. Should I go visit my God kids? You know what I mean? Like, I always got something to do. There's always somebody around me. I'm never bored. Boredom and complacency is the enemy of growth. If you got the basic text and you got a sponsor and you're working the steps and you're practicing this program, right, you got to keep reaching. See, because like boredom and complacency comes into your life because you stop reaching, you know. I remember when I got 30 days, right, and I got the first keychain. I wanted the next one. And all my life I chased the next one. So here it is. I'm in recovery, man. I got all the keychains. And now what? I got to wait till next year and then I only get one a year? You know what? Check it out, man. Every time my sponsees celebrate, every time guys in my support group celebrate, it gets better and better and better. I minimalize the things like that, right? I minimalize them. But that's some important shit, man. When I see an addict get 30 days and then come up and celebrate a year, and maybe I'll speak for him, maybe I'll just show up for him, it doesn't matter. You know, what I realize is that I'm here. You know, I need to say this, like, I came in here on a 12-step. I never, ever look down at an addict unless I'm picking them up today. And that's the most humblest state I could be in. I got a lot to offer today. It's only because somebody gave it to me and gave it to me. You know what? Like, my brother's clean today, and that's a blessing. We really don't see eye to eye, but some days I just hold my breath, I count to 10, and it ain't that bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just can't get along. I don't know what it is. Maybe, you know what? Maybe we're on the same page, you know, trying to turn it. I don't know. But you know what? Like, as long as we both stay clean. You know, he's got 18 months clean, right? And that was a guy who was never getting off of pain medication. You know what I mean? In 1988, he brought me to meetings, right? And I got, in 87, he brought me to meetings. And I got clean in 88. And I realized, like, there was something I wanted. I never knew anybody who was clean. I was in a relationship and I was engaged. I had a so-called kid with a girl. And she said, what are we going to do? I said, well, I guess you'll put the baby up for adoption. Using was more important. You know, I'm talking about a painful childhood. I'm not talking about a day in the park. You know what I'm saying? Every day in the park, something happened. Either somebody got arrested, somebody got shot, somebody got beat down. That was the park that I lived in, you know. I remember it clear. Today, it ain't like that, man, you know. I'm able to enjoy, I'm able to take a sick day because I'm on my way to a convention, you know what I'm saying? I'm able to take a day off. This is like the first day I took off all year, you know. I'm able to take a day off from work and enjoy a sponsee and take a ride up to a convention and share this message. This message is real simple, man. It's a God-given program called Narcotics Anonymous. I need to talk about, like, the association I have with people, right? If I'm in Narcotics Anonymous and I'm associating with the people from the street yet, so, like, I'm not fully removed. Right, and it takes time to be removed. I don't say you're going to be removed overnight, but you know what? That process, either you put it in order, like this, like, you know, you're powerless over the drugs, and they tell you stay away from people, places, and things, man. Give yourself a break, and some days that's what I got to do. I talk to my brother on the phone. And, like, I know that the conversation will go bad. I just know it'll go bad. What I'll do is I'll stop myself. And sometimes I'm right, but I don't need to be right. Because, like, my whole life I wanted you to understand me. Instead, maybe I just need to understand him, you know. What the relationship I have with my brother-in-law, it's a lot better than it used to be, you know. And I need to share about my family because, like, my family's clean, you know. It's like I came into Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't know them. I couldn't celebrate a holiday with them. I didn't know how to act. You know what? I got clean. I needed a couple of years clean. I don't know about you. I'm talking about me. I needed a couple of years clean to deal with them, you know. Today, like, you know, I tell my mother I love her every day. We never said that to each other growing up as a kid. We never told each other, I love you. It was like, you know, it was just understood. You know, when I went to Catholic school, my mother was a seamstress. My father was a ditch digger, right? And it was just understood. You know what I mean? We ate dinner at this time. We went to sleep at this time. We did. That was our pattern. You know what I mean? And it, once I broke the pattern, there was a problem. They knew right away I had a problem with drugs. You know, my brother turned me on to drugs at a real early age. I liked them. I continued to use them, and you know, institution therapy, inpatient, outpatient. I went to see the priest, the psychiatrist. I need medication. I realized this. All I needed was a safe place to come and somebody who I can identify with. And I found that home in Narcotics Anonymous. And it was real valuable to me, you know. I need to share this, like, when I don't want to go through something, I just try to turn the switch, you know, and act as if. But really, I need to act on it. And what I mean by that is, listen, I'm powerless over what happened to my friend. I just don't want to deal with it because, like, I don't want it to spoil the day, you know. And maybe I just don't want to feel, you know. But check it out, right? How I uncover the problem is I realize that, you know what, like, it could be any one of us at any given time. You know, I'm grateful for the time that I spent with the individual, you know. Well, he was a motorcycle enthusiast. He was into Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I remember spending many, many summers on the beach with this guy, you know. Meetings, conventions, upstate in the mountains. Some beautiful times. And that's what I got to hold on to. Those are the playgrounds, you know. He was one of the playmates, you know. My playmates change, you know. The girls I associate with today are a lot different than the ones that I would when I used, you know. The conversations are a little longer now, you know. We have something other in common than who's got it and is it good? Because that was the conversation back then, you know. And I need to say this, like, when I wrote the steps with my sponsor, right, I had to uncover the truth. And when I first wrote the steps in 1988, it was real simple. It was four questions. Every step had four questions, real easy to do, you know. So you either want one, two, three, or four, and you were done, you know. And I remember struggling with that, right. And then they came out with a revised book, and it had seven questions. And some of them had five questions and 11 questions. And then all of a sudden they come out with 73 questions. Like, holy shoot, it's just getting complicated here, you know. But I've been clean long enough to realize that, like, the steps are what continually scrapes the surface for me. See, because, like, I could stay clean and I could come to meetings and I could help you, but I need to help me. How do I help me? I continually scrape the surface. And as I scrape the surface, I realize that, like, I'm teachable. I need to practice humility on a regular basis, you know. And at any given time, like, my personality could flare up, you know, because I don't want to feel this death, maybe, or I don't want to feel this person's loss. So what I'll do is I'll substitute. I'll go quadding up in the mountains, and I'll come back after the weekend like nothing happened. You know what I mean? See, that's old behavior, and I can't practice old behavior in a new way of life. I need to address situations, and that's where I'm at right now. That's what I'm doing today, you know. The 12th step is what I got the message. That's what I do on a regular basis. I spend my lunch hour taking people to detox and do whatever it takes because I know, like, as long as I'm out there putting a hit on the disease and I'm helping addicts, right, and I'm giving them a chance, I know the disease got less room in my head, you know, because I got hurt at an NA event. We were hosting a picnic, right? And we were playing soccer, and I ruptured my patella tendon, right? And my whole life changed, you know? The snowboarding season was gone. There was no motorcycles, no bicycling. There was nothing, right? There was, like, this much snow, like, real a small amount of snow, so I wasn't angry, right? But if it would have snowed a lot, I would have been more upset, and it just would have been more to deal with the steps. But I need to say this, I feel better today, you know. See, like, as I'm in recovery, right, I have to be grateful for every day that I'm able to do what I do. My life is full. I came into Narcotics Anonymous and I was lost, right? I came in here and I didn't want to get a sponsor. I wasn't going to hang out with you in the diner. Then we went to the diner. Then what? You know, I didn't like you people, man. In 1988, there weren't a lot of people my age getting clean, you know, let alone anybody really staying clean. That's what I thought. But I came to Narcotics Anonymous, and I found a home. And what I did with that home is I made it a castle. And the castle turned into a kingdom. And there's so many beautiful people there, you know. Like, I come in there, and I want to judge you, but I need to look at me. How do I look at me? I understand that, like, you know what? I suffer from this. So what do I suffer from today? I suffer from intimacy from me to you, you know? Yeah, I know how to be a friend. I know how to reach out. I know how to help you. You know what? I know how to hang. I can do a lot of good things today, you know? But the bottom line is that I got to continue to do that and reveal myself, you know? Like, when things are bad in my life, I take a deep breath. I count to 10. You know, I do that constantly until it goes away. I realize that breathing is a big thing in my recovery. You know what I'm saying? When I get excited, the first thing I do is I start breathing heavy, and I get excited. The veins in my neck come out. You know what I mean? What I learned to do is I learned to communicate. How did I learn to communicate? It was by using the phone in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, by getting involved with people and events and activity commitment on the regional, on the world level. You know what? Like, my 1989, I went to my first world convention. It was in Florida. The first convention I went to, I was all right with sleeping in the car because that's where I was comfortable. Do you know what I'm saying? I didn't know how to act. You guys had a suitcase with your clothes all folded, man. I just threw my stuff in a bag. Didn't matter to me. I was just grateful to be there. I looked at these hotels and I said, I'm not staying in there. I never went anywhere when I was using. I never went anywhere, you know. So I showed up to this convention and it was the most beautiful thing I ever seen. They had birds, they had a piano in the bar. And I looked up and there were like balconies in all the rooms. I'd never seen nothing. A glass, the top was all glass, they had these big koi fish in the pond, and I said, my God, isn't this beautiful, man? Recovery's awesome. And then as soon as I got there, I got involved, and I started to do some service, and I started taping the World Convention. I said, wow, I had 16 months clean. The guy said, listen, you're going to run the tapes back and forth, you're going to do this for me. And I said, really? Man, I thought that was like an honor, man. I said, wow, you asked me to do that? You know, there was like 16,000 people. I was petrified. I was scared of crowds. I didn't like you because I didn't like me. I had about 16 months clean. You know, I was in a relationship and the relationship ended and I was devastated. And the deal was, is I didn't want to feel. So like, what did I do? I ran away. The minute the conversation would get heated with this particular girl or any girl, I would run away. You know what I'm saying? Because I just didn't want to deal. But check it out. As you run away, you walk away with the dirty laundry. And the bag gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the next thing you know, you can't carry it no more. And what do you got to do? You got to do an inventory. And what's that inventory consist of? Real simple, man. You know, it's a pamphlet that we have in Narcotics Anonymous. It could be like some questions that your sponsor has for you. You know, for me, like, I need to do a 10-step. I need to promptly look. Especially when I'm wrong, I need to say I'm sorry immediately. And some days, like, I'll be in a situation where I can't say I'm sorry right away. And what do I need to do? I need to step back, take a deep breath, and recoup. Because I always want to say, but you did this to me, right? See, the best way, the best revenge I can get today is live right. How do I live right? I show up a day at a time. I try not to steal from the job. I try not to sleep on the job. I try to be there on time, leave on time, just be fair. You know, my whole life I was a liar, a cheat, and a thief. I need to tell you that. And I could say that over and over and over, but that's not going to help my problem. What's going to help my problem is saying, listen, I'm sorry. A guy said to me the other day, he goes, how come you can't say you're sorry? I goes, that's me, you know, that's me. He goes, but can't you say you're sorry? I said, not today. You know, because I'm arrogant, I'm self-righteous, you know. Sometimes I go in the room and I hug everybody. There'll be other days where I'm in my own world. Don't bother me. You know what I'm saying? Because, see, like, isolation is part of my disease. You know? I think staying alone is good, but I find out it's bad. You know? The reason why I'm shaking right now is because the truth's coming out. Check it out, right? If I'm here and I'm telling the truth, I'll probably feel a lot better than telling you some Gucci story. You know? Yeah, you know what? I know how to snowboard in Colorado. I've been to Utah. I've been to Canada. I've been all over the place. So check it out, right? I experienced some of the most beautiful days. And we were coming up here, right? And we're listening to the CD, Whitney Houston, right? And we was talking about Judgment Day, right? And my friend says to me, he goes, man, I'm getting goosebumps. I said, yes, so am I. Well, check it out, right? The reason why is because the truth hits us. You know, we just don't share it with everybody. But the truth hits us inside. And you know what? It causes us to shake. And when we share, it frees us. So I'm here to tell you that I'm feeling free. I'm experiencing something beautiful today in Narcotics Anonymous. It's a gift called life. You know what? I don't have to be trapped up in, like, how my mate feels. I was with a girl for 6 years, and yeah, I love her, but I loved her. But check it out, right? How many times have I told her that? How did I express myself? And I looked at, when I did my inventory, this was like over 16 months ago. I had to do some kind of inventory, right? Right? I never sent the flowers, right? Yeah, we went on vacation, but, you know what I mean? So the minute you hear but, you know that this is a problem. Check it out, right? What did I do? She did everything for me, right? And when she left, I thought I was the victim. Check it out. I wasn't the victim. I was a volunteer. I volunteered for that position because, you know what? I didn't show up for the position that I was supposed to. And what position was that? I was supposed to be loving and caring, right? But because, like, you know what? I look back at my mother and father, and things were just understood. You know what I mean? They weren't said. You never shared how you felt. Remember, as a kid, I had this bunny rabbit. We raised chickens and rabbits as a kid. We lived off the land, my mother and father, you know. We raised chickens and rabbits, and we had a rooster, and everybody else had a dog. I definitely felt different, right? But anyway, make a long story short, I fell in love with one of them rabbits as a little kid, and I remember that rabbit disappeared, you know. See, because my father would eat those rabbits. I didn't understand. You know what I mean? I thought we were eating chicken. So my whole life I was deceived even by my parents, right? But they were doing the best they can. It wasn't their problem. It was a pattern that I followed. See, so I need to break that vicious cycle. When I come up here and I share about that stuff, I have to look at where my problem came from and I have to change it. How do I change it? I show up every day. I got to share about this shit. I got to call my sponsor. I haven't been calling my sponsor. So I call one of my sponsee brothers on the way up here. So my sponsor picks up the phone and he goes, you ain't been calling me. I says, oh, Brian blew up the spot, huh? Okay. All right, I'm going to let him have it today when I see him. Because that's the old revenge. But check it out. I should be calling him, you know. The reason why I don't call him is because he sponsors a lot of guys. I justify and rationalize the most insane thing. But meanwhile, there's love for me like there's love for them. And I have to remember that, you know. I'm coming up on 18 years clean, right? And I couldn't tell you when my clean date was when I got clean, right? I was like, was it the 13th? Was it the 14th? Was it the 15th? I wasn't sure, right? So I said, let's make it the 16th because I wanted to make sure I was clean, you know what I mean? I knew, like, once I made that day and I wrote it in stone, I never had to change it, you know? And if I showed up in Narcotics Anonymous, and then, you know what, I get tired of making meetings and listening to these people and saying, like, and now what? What am I going to do now? And what now? Well, check it out, man. What now? It's like this, man. If I get bored with myself, I better learn how to do something else because check it out. When I used drugs, I did nothing but watch the ceiling paint chip. I did nothing but, like, listen for somebody who wasn't there, look out the window at somebody who wasn't there. I was on the rooftop. I was down in the basement. I was locked up in the closet. I was locked up here. So, like, I don't think that was a life, you know, imaginable. You know, and my friend's telling me, he says, you know, I think I could just use successful. Well, listen, I said, when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I thought I was a winemaker, right? And because we made wine, me, my brother, and my father. We made wine for many, many years, right? So when I got clean, I didn't think wine was a drug. So that year, we grew peaches, you know, we had like a little farm. We grew the peaches, we put them in the wine, and then we drank the wine, we ate the peaches, and, you know, and we fought like crazy, you know. That's what we did, you know what I'm saying? I remember getting drunk, you know, and realizing alcohol is a drug. I came into Narcotics Anonymous, I realized that one thing I wanted. I didn't want to feel like that anymore. I wanted to deal with the feelings. How did I deal with the feelings? I found somebody I could trust. I didn't have to trust everybody. I found somebody I could trust. You know what? I called up my sponsor, and I says to him, this was a while ago, and I says to him, this is what I'm doing. And he says, really? And he says, what are you willing to do? I said, whatever it takes to change that. And he says, all right. You know, it wasn't nothing like profound. He wasn't going to give me no profound answer. It was real simple, man. Put your hands in your pocket if you're stealing stuff. You know what I mean? Don't walk into the stores. If you're on a computer doing the wrong thing, you know what? Don't get on the computer. You know, it was like that. It was real simple, man. If you don't pick it up, you won't get stoned in the beginning. You know, if you don't hang out people, places, and things, you ain't getting high. Listen, I'm real grateful that I had this ability to share with you guys and tell you, like, my playgrounds, my playmates. You know what? Like, I've made over 50 conventions in 1 year. I've been around a while. I've been a part of this program. I never left. I'm involved in my area. I believe that if you're in the middle of Narcotics Anonymous, you don't have to be anywhere else. You know, my life is real full. My family lives far away. And, like, when I go there, I really enjoy them because of the fact is that, like, I'm grateful that they're in my life. Thanks for listening to me. And I just want to thank this committee for allowing me to speak.